When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
The Sultan of Sizzle, the Titan of Toastiness, the Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones, those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard, they have the backyard, because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program from Las Vegas. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We have a jam-packed hour number two of the radio program. You can watch us all throughout the week, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Coming up 20 minutes from now, the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, and then former 49ers and Bears kicker Robbie Gould will be joining us 40 minutes from now. I always say when I do a radio show, I feel like I'm a controller of chaos, and that's like a good way to have a show. You don't want a show that's boring. You don't want a show that's pedestrian. You want chaos, but you want it to be organized, controlled chaos, if that makes sense. I will say, Sam, through the 5 days that we go to the Super Bowl, there is never controlled chaos here inside Radio Row. Like, Daily News is one of our loyal YouTube chatters. We got to come up with a name on what we're going to refer to people on the YouTube chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. And he just basically described today's show so far, which is only 61 minutes in. Bob is dismayed with Zach Gelb's mic sound levels. Samter is best friends with Bone Cut Davis. And Sean Merriman is huge, even bigger than Zach Gelb. I am getting roasted in this YouTube chat. Not many people make me look small. I remember, David Mayernick knows this story, who's here, our program director from CBS Sports Radio. There was a time where Shaquille O'Neal came into our studio, and he was doing a podcast, and he needed our podcast space. And this is when I was like part-time, overnight guy, really grinding hard to try to make a name for myself here at CBS Sports Radio. And I would always come in throughout the week and pre-record some things that we could air from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern on Friday and Saturday into Sunday, like big-name interviews, things like that. And David, I guess, was busy with all of his responsibilities that he has. So he goes, would you mind just, he asked me to run the board and just make sure the levels were good for Shaquille O'Neal. So afterwards, I got a photo with Shaq. And let me remind you, I am a large man. I am 6'4". Most people think I'm taller than 6'4". I guess the doctor just can't reach when I go to the doctor these days. So I'm just going to go with 6'4". That's what I was the last time that I think I got an accurate measurement. But at the time, I was probably like 70 pounds heavier. I looked like a grape, though, standing next to Shaquille O'Neal.
I mean, you are wearing a purple shirt, so you look kind of grapeish now.
Well, that was with Shaq. You know, now I'm in better shape. Now I'm looking better, all that stuff.
More like a plum now.
Hey, I saw Scott Farrell. The first thing Farrell said, Gelb, you're looking good. You're getting in shape. You're going to the gym. Shake it up. So I saw Farrell earlier, but Merriman makes me look emaciated.
He's a big
dog. It's crazy.
And he's jacked, too. It's not like he's just like a big guy. Because there's a lot of big dudes around here, football players. He's jacked.
But there's a lot of football players that walk around where I'm like, I feel like I'm on their level. I don't feel small next to them. I feel like nothing next to Sean Merriman. He towers over me. He's a broad dude as well. You know what I felt like? When you asked me to take a picture last night.
Enough of you.
And we're on the field.
Enough of you.
And I go, this looks like Robin Big.
Enough of you.
I got to get those photos, by the way. You haven't sent me those photos. You better upload those photos. I need the photos of us on the field with Drew Tranquil, all that stuff, having fun last night.
And the ones with me hanging out with Mark Davis.
Look at what is going to our right now. There is a ring-like camera that is circling around. Oh, you just missed it. It was doing a 360, and it was taking a picture of whoever this guy is.
But what the heck are people doing?
No, that's a fun social media thing. It goes around. It does slow motion.
Who is he? Brian Kelly dancing in a locker room?
Yeah, there you go.
With the recruit?
He's recruiting.
That's what it looks like.
He's recruiting.
All righty. Let's update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Trevor Lawrence is going to join us coming up in 15 minutes from now. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Daily also writes in the chat, oh, I forgot one more thing. Zach isn't pleased with the casino smells going up to his hotel room.
It's not the casino we have an issue with. It's the hotel, I think.
It's just there's like...
It's musty. It's old.
I'm pretty sure you're invited to this, or I'm going to bring you to it. As long as you don't big time me. I already found a replacement to find someone else to go to the Las Vegas Golden Knights game because Samter was too big for a little hockey and Connor McDavid. You know, I was sitting in the sixth row tonight. Samter's like, oh, I can't do that. I have to go to some other schmancy fancy party. But I'm assuming we are going to a cigar party on Thursday night. It's a Dick and Jaws yearly cigar party, which the Gridiron Greats, they do a phenomenal job, and Rudolph Foods and all the people at Southern Recipes. But the cigar smell, I'm okay when it's at a party. When you are in a room for a week, and it's not my room that smells, but it's just the hallways, and you have that just cigar smell as you're trying to go into your room and go to bed, I'll be a little bit of a prima donna. Look at this. See, here we go. It's a 360 spin where that guy's just taking a picture. What a waste. People are stupid these days. They really are. All righty. Let's start off with Roger Goodell on Travis Kelce and Taylor's impact on the Super Bowl. Here's the commish.
Having the Taylor Swift effect is also a positive. Listen, they're both Travis and Taylor are wonderful young people. They seem very happy. She knows great entertainment, and I think that's why she loves NFL football. But I think it's great to have her a part of it. Obviously, it creates a buzz. It creates another group of young fans, particularly young women, that are interested in seeing why is she going to this game? Why is she interested in this game? Besides Travis, she is a football fan, and I think that's great for us.
An Eagles fan, too, Taylor Swift. So she's been a football fan for years. She loved watching the games with her dad, and when your boyfriend is the star tight end and one of the greatest tight ends of all time, it's a pretty good life. Because, like, Taylor Swift gets to go to whatever she wants. She snaps her fingers. Someone will find a way to give her VIP access to something. I think, Samter, it's been cool to see how much genuine fun she's having at these games, being in the luxury box, you know, drinking, eating, having fun, and just taking in the football. It's, now, I don't think I could relate to Taylor Swift because she lives a life that none of us could even imagine living. But she does come off with this Travis Kelce relationship as just a very relatable human being and a fun human being.
And like I said, you know, we talked about this last week. If you want to be upset with the TV networks and the media coverage of this, fine. I get it. It's a lot. And even if you didn't care before,
but
now
it's under
if you're
a minute. They only show under a minute.
Right. I'm just saying in general, like, you know, all the, you know, us and ESPN and all the people talking about it, if that's what's upsetting you is just, you know, like, even if you like a song, if you hear it too much on the radio, it gets old to you. Even if you were fine with this, maybe people are just tired of it. But my point is,
I don't get tired of music. I really don't.
If there's a song or a band that's just being overplayed and overplayed, even if I liked it, then that's why I saw Dave Matthews. I used to like, and then they were just overplayed so much that now I can't stand Dave Matthews.
Into me.
But my point is, like, if you want to have an issue with the coverage of it, fine. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are doing literally nothing wrong. They are trying to just have fun and enjoy it. She's going to the games. She's not pushing her face, you know, your face into it. She's just doing her own thing. He's doing his own thing. He has a podcast that he had before he dated her. He's still doing that. If you have an issue with the coverage,
gone to a new
that's
heights,
on
the
coverage.
The
yeah, right. There you go.
Dun-dun-dun.
If you have an issue with the coverage, that's on that. Do not blame Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for how they're being covered.
And I give credit to Travis Kelce last night, because we'll get to some stupid questions that he was asked, a few that may have been for me. He didn't shut down any of the questions. He didn't have this ego about him, like, how dare you ask me about that? He wasn't private. He wasn't standoffish. He's just a positive guy that's embraced all this, and he has fun. Here is Roger Goodell. He was asked. Someone actually asked him this. Has the Super Bowl been scripted because of Taylor Swift? Here's the commissioner.
I don't think I'm that good a scripter or anybody on our staff.
Dell's not smart enough.
It's, you know, I listen, There is no way that I could have scripted that one. Let's just put it that way. But she is, or anybody in our office, she's a remarkable performer. She knows great entertainment. I had the opportunity to go to two of her concerts with our girls and my wife. She's the best of the best. And so having her come to NFL games, have her a part of that is nothing but a positive.
Here is Travis Kelce on his relationship with Taylor Swift.
She's unbelievable. She's rewriting the history books herself. I told her I'll have to hold up my end of the bargain and come home with some hardware too. Taylor has an unbelievable fan base that follows her and supports her throughout her life. And it's been fun to kind of gather the Swifties in the Chiefs kingdom and open them up to the football world and the sports world. And it's been cool to just experience all that.
Do me a favor, Santer. Do you have that poster of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift? Let me just introduce this to the listening audience. So we have made a poster this week, and it is, will they get engaged? And we have yes and no. And we just started this with Sean Merriman, and it's a nice photo of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, two photos, and Sean Merriman signed it, and yes. We're going to ask most guests, not every guest, but most guests, will they end up getting engaged? And for some reason, we have Joe Montana scheduled later in the week. That's like not for some reason we have him scheduled. We're at the Super Bowl, obviously. It's one of the biggest names ever and one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But for some reason, I'm most excited to hear Joe Montana's answer on if Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are one day going to get engaged. Anyway, I got a chance to ask Travis Kelce two stupid questions last night. Here is my personal exchange with Travis Kelce at the opening night at Allegiant Stadium last night.
Travis, Mama Kelce called you a fashionista on that New Heights podcast. I need to use your fashion sense for a second. Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, they poked fun at Phil Simms for his lady glasses that he wears. I have a photo right here. What do you think of Phil Simms' glasses?
What's so ladylike about those? Those are some good, solid glasses. As long as it's helping him see, that's all that matters.
And the other thing is, Kadarius Toney goes by the rap name Young Joker.
The Joker.
I'm just wondering, will Taylor get on an album with him to kind of put his rap career on the map?
I mean, she's been known to dabble in the rap world. I don't know. We'll have to see. I'll see if Joker's up for it or not.
Thank you.
So those are just like two stupid questions that get asked at opening night. And usually I'm not a stupid media member, but last night I wanted to be stupid and have a little fun with the whole Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift. And I was helping out Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti a little bit, having some people on the ground there at opening night since they have to get up at like 1 a.m. Pacific time to do their radio show. But that's how Travis Kelce answered both of those stupid questions. He didn't like dismiss it. He wasn't, you know, walking off the set. I know there was no phone to hang up, but he wasn't hanging up the phone or anything along those lines. He's having fun with this stuff. And it was 60 minutes last night of question after question after question about Taylor Swift.
And I'll say this one thing. At no point was there not a smile on his face. At no point did it look like he was annoyed. At no point was there a question that he was like, this is just getting... He obviously went into it saying, okay, let me just smile for an hour.
He knew it was going to be stupid.
Yeah, and he just said, let me just smile for an hour. I'm going to answer all the stupid questions. And maybe once he was done, he was like, all right, these guys are idiots. But he had a smile on his... Either A, he's really having fun with this, mm-hmm. or B, he knows how to fake it. But either way, he was...
I think he's having fun.
He was enjoying it. He was having fun. He was smiling, and he was having a good attitude about it, and that's all you can ask for.
Now, I asked a question about Kadarius Toney, who also has a rap career, and I guess he still has a football career, even though they're like making up injuries to try to just not get him on the field because you can't rely on him, even though he made two of the bigger plays in the Super Bowl last year. But right before the AFC Championship game, he went on Instagram Live and basically said that he wasn't hurt and all that stuff, and he also had the birth of a child as well. There's something with Kadarius Toney where we're not getting the full story. And I think Kansas City realizes a talent, and they don't want to get rid of him because it would create a bigger story, but they're starting to realize the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Well, Young Joker, or Kadarius Toney, most people know him, he was on the field a little bit last night at opening night, and he had to explain his Instagram Live rant on the morning of or the night before the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, it kind of started that, but in the process of that, I get interrupted, so it got like a mixed message behind it, I guess you could say, and then a lot of footage got chopped up in the release. So it made it like I was attacking the one I love the most, like I made in the post I was referring to. I never attacked the Chiefs, never said anything about the Chiefs. Who I was referring to was the Giant fans, or whatever people in my comment, you know what I'm saying, my comment box, not even on my live recording, so you wouldn't even know they were there. But I was referring to them, which I shouldn't have. I just wanted to go out there. I feel like, how you say, get my message across as far as my injury, but I shouldn't have did that at the end of the day. I'm a man. At the end of the day, I can accept my mistakes just like I accept my wins, you know, but I'm just moving past it right now.
So he's saying he was on Instagram Live, and he's blaming this on a Giant fan that was in the comment section, and I guess a Giant fan set him off. Now, this dude just can't be trusted on social media. Like, they should take social media away from Kadarius Toney, and there would be no avenue or no outlet for him to be a distraction. Finally, I've been seeing these headlines. I purposely have not listened to the audio because I want to hear it the first time naturally on the air. A lot of people were questioning the sobriety of Kyle Shanahan last night. They think he was a little bit in the bag at opening night, which, if he is, you know, we all had fun with Mike McDaniel allegedly smoking a little bit of a pen on the sideline in that game 2 years ago in the playoffs, Bills and Dolphins, which with how crazy opening night is, I don't mind, even if you're head coach of a team, if you take a pop or two right before you go out on opening night, or maybe you eat something a little edible, if you know what I'm saying. All right. Here is Kyle Shanahan. And now this says on Brock Purdy sounding drunk. So he's talking about Brock Purdy, and this is when people thought he was sounding drunk. You be the judge.
Well, it's funny to hear Jed say that, because it wasn't the smartest moment I've ever had. I mean, when owner comes in after training camp practices and it's like, hey, how's the quarterback? And what he means is the starter or the second, and you in irritation go, I don't know, but our third guy's the best. Like, that's not what he wants to hear. So that's why he remembers it very strong. But that was just more, Brock was so good right away with every rep he got. He was always the same. And he only got a couple of them. So it was easy for me to say, because in his few reps, he was the best. But if you know that for a fact, I mean, then you do what you do right away. But he was the best. But you ease that on. And every time he got a little more reps, it was the same as when he only got two. And so when it was all said and done and he got a lot of playing time, I was like, oh, this looks exactly like what I told you when I was irritated. And he only had three reps. And I said, no, he's the best. But that's what was so real about Brock. That's why after his seven games his rookie year, even when he got hurt, we knew what we had, because he'd been that way in practice every day, and it was the exact same way in the games.
Anytime I thought he sounded tipsy, he reeled it back in, and he did not sound tipsy. I would say maybe he had a glass of wine before it, at most. But everyone's going off with he sounded intoxicated. He sounded like he was eight drinks in. Anytime you thought maybe he was a little tipsy, it then just went away. You also have to remember, there's like 700 people around him last night, and he's talking to all those people with all the bright lights in front of his face. It could have just been maybe an uncomfortable setting for Kyle Shanahan. I don't think he dabbled in the gummy game or anything. That would not be the right scene. Maybe a glass of wine, like a little Pinot Noir at most. All right, that's a news brief. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, Trevor Lawrence is going to join us, the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Sultan of Sizzle, the Titan of Toastiness, the Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones, those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard, they have the backyard, because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his...
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
All righty, we continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Now joining us is the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that, of course, is Trevor Lawrence, and he's brought to us today on behalf of Head and Shoulders and PNG Battles of the Paddles. Trevor Lawrence, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for jumping on board with us again. How are you?
What's up, Zach? Good to see you, man. Appreciate you. Appreciate you for having me, man. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. You know, I had high expectations for your team entering this season. I know you had high expectations as well. You guys not making the playoffs, when you look back and explain what happened with the Jaguars in the year of 2023, what stands out to you a few weeks removed from the season?
You know, it's all about, especially in the NFL, it's all about playing your best football at the end of the season at the right time. And, you know, we weren't able to do that this year. I think there's a lot of factors, you know, for whatever reason. Just the ups and downs of the season we didn't handle as well as we did the year before. You know, we were able to overcome a lot, you know, 2 years ago and put ourselves in a position to make the playoffs, win a playoff game. And this year, we weren't able to do that for whatever reason. We had a lot of injuries at different times of the season. We were missing some guys here and there, but every team's going to deal with that at some point. So I think collectively the biggest thing is just we got to handle adversity a little bit better. We got to find a way to just play our best ball at the end of the season. Don't peak too early. You know, we started the season great. We were in a good spot in November, early December, and then the end of the year we just didn't play our best. So figure out how we do that and moving forward to not make the same mistake, you know, in the years to come.
Yeah, and where's your confidence that you guys are going to be able to do that and you're going to be able to get the best version of this team out of this team next year and be back in the playoffs and be a threat in the playoffs?
I'm really confident. You know, I think we have a lot of the right pieces in place. I think we've done a great job the past couple off seasons of bringing people in and the different free agents that we've been able to bring in and the type of people. I think we have good leaders. But we're going to have to step up, especially this offseason, more than we have in the past. Obviously, we didn't meet expectations and we fell short of what we wanted to do. And no one saw us, you know, not making the playoffs, and especially ourselves. That wasn't the goal at all. So we got to look in the mirror and correct the things that we need to correct. And leaders have to lead, and we got to have a great offseason. But I have a lot of confidence in the guys that we have. I'm sure we're going to add some pieces, you know, through free agency, the draft, whatever it is. There's going to be new guys. Teams are never the exact same. So it's also about how we take whatever team we have spring heading into training camp and how do we get that team ready to eventually win a Super Bowl. That's what we all want to do. That's why we play. That's what we're here for. So it'll be interesting to see how it shapes out. But we know we have a big task in front of us. And I got a lot of confidence in our group.
I think the conversation, as we're talking to Trevor Lawrence, surrounding you is fascinating. You know, in year one, let's not sugarcoat it, Urban Meyer was terrible for that organization. Year two, you really had a successful season, and people said this is the transcendent player that you were talked out to be. And then in year number three, obviously, it regressed. How do you kind of describe what you've been able to do in the NFL, and where do you kind of fall right now when you think people talk about Trevor Lawrence and what you proved so far?
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of confidence in the player that I am. You know, I've had some ups and downs in my career, no doubt about it, so up until this point. And I think that, you know, I'm very thankful for, you know, I talked with some of the guys on the team, even after the season, and sitting on the plane after the Tennessee game, and, you know, we all kind of agreed. We're very thankful for the hard parts of our career. I feel like they've made us a lot better. I know my rookie year was very challenging and something I never really had to deal with, and it made me a lot better, and I was better for it moving forward. And now we had another set of challenges this past year. You know, seems like we just couldn't get anything going at the end of the year. We really struggled, and yeah, we weren't able to find success. So I think, but for me as a player, you know, I don't think that I've regressed. I think every year I've taken a step. You know, and people can pull numbers and talk about whatever they want, and that's fine. I guess that's how people evaluate things, but you know, for my development, there was things that I wanted to get better at going into the season. I think I did that. You know, I'm disappointed that I wasn't able to play my best at the end of the season. That's the biggest takeaway for myself that I'm disappointed in. But, you know, I think there's things that I wanted to get better at that I did. And up until, you know, I started having some injuries, I think I was doing those things that put us in position to win. And then in the back half of the season, I didn't do that good enough. And that's why we weren't able to win and make the playoffs. So There's definitely things that I want back, and I'd like to play better in certain games, but I do think that myself and as a team, we've taken steps every year, and we're getting better, and obviously not making the playoffs seems like a step back, and it is, but I think sometimes that can kind of open your eyes a little bit and show you what you need to get better at, and honestly put a little pressure on you. You know, we need to have some sense of urgency. You know, maybe if we make the playoffs and win a playoff game, we don't have the same type of urgency that we have now that we missed the playoffs and, you know, fell from 8-3 to 9-8 to finish the season. So I think it's going to put a little pressure on us in a good way.
I think the way that we talk about quarterbacks is extremely dumb, and it's year to year. And look at the way that people talk about Brock Purdy. Does it amaze you that some people say about you that Trevor Lawrence is a bust with some of the things that you've still been able to do in a positive way 3 years into the league?
It's not surprising. It's a crazy world. People want clicks. People want to, you know, just say something and have these takes, and that's what it's become, you know. And I think it's become harder with the social media era of what we do, and just the way things are so instant, and it's all reactions, and that's how things happen. You look at a guy like you said, Brock Purdy. I mean, that guy's done everything that he could possibly do. Being a seventh round pick, last pick in the draft, went to San Fran, has won most of the games he's played, taken him to the Super Bowl this year, and you know, people still try to find ways to tear him down and to say that he's not, well, he's really not that good. That's kind of the whole, you know, narrative. And it's like, well, I don't know what else you want the guy to do. You know, he's played great, put up great numbers, taken him to the Super Bowl, won a lot of games. So it's just the way it is. You know, people are going to have hot takes, big reactions whenever anything happens. And then you got to think about the fans of the other teams that obviously don't like you, and they're going to find anything they can to try to talk bad about you. So that you see that really in every fan base, every team. But it's at the end of the day, we have a job to do, and that's what I have to focus on. And I have a lot of confidence in myself and the development that I've had so far in my career. But I got to keep getting better. You can't stay the same. I got to get better next year.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how things shape on out inside the AFC South, because I want to see how you guys respond this year after getting doubted. And we know what the Texans just did with C.J. Stroud. Why are you guys long-term going to be able to outlast and find a way to solve a big problem now in your division with the Houston Texans with what CJ and D'Amico did this past year?
Yeah, you know, they're going to be a tough team for years to come. You know, like you said, they got a great coach, they got a great quarterback. You know, they definitely took a big step from last season into this year and kind of inserting themselves into the not only the AFC South picture, but the AFC and the league. So, they did a great job, but we got to focus on ourselves. We can't worry about the Texans. You know, I really have a lot of confidence in the people that we have. And a lot goes into winning your division and getting a shot at the playoffs, all those things. And it's not just about those two games you play against that team. So there's also the Colts who have been good every year, put up a fight. They're always in the hunt. Look at this year. They had a chance to beat Houston to make the playoffs. So, and then you got Tennessee, who, you know, got a new coach, new regime there. I'm sure they're going to bring in a lot of players. They're going to be a good team. It's NFL every week, so you can't focus on one team, because the second you put everything into, we got to beat Houston to win the division, then you get beat by Indy, you get beat by Tennessee, you get beat by whoever your other out of, you know, division games are. It's a long season, and it's really week to week, and you have to have that tunnel vision, that laser focus on each opponent. So that's the key for us.
Tell me what you're doing today on Head and Shoulders and PNG Battle of the Paddles.
Yeah, so I'm going to be playing in the ping pong tournament, PNG Battle of the Paddles event in Vegas, Wednesday, February 7th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can watch it on Overtime Season's YouTube channel. So it's going to be exciting. It's my second year. I'm with Head and Shoulders again. Just try to get the hair right before the ping pong tournament. So. We'll see. I'm excited for it, man. The second year with Head and Shoulders, and it's fun. We got eight NFL players that are going to be playing in the tournament. We'll see who wins it. Last year it was Trent Taylor, and he whooped me pretty good. So I got to try to get a little payback on him, but he's pretty good.
Well, he's Trevor Lawrence. Trevor, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Good luck. Good health.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate you, man. Enjoyed it.
You got it. Thanks so much. There he is, Trevor Lawrence. Always love when he joins us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And, you know, we had to get into it because that's been a team that I had high expectations for. I thought they could take that next step after being a team that won a playoff game a year ago, turned it around, right? Back-to-back number one picks, the disaster of Urban Meyer, And then they come on back in that playoff game up against Brandon Staley and the Chargers, where they came on back from down 27 points, and they gave a good effort against Kansas City. But then the next year, any big game that they had, they didn't perform well. And there's a lot of conversation. There's a bunch brewing with that Jaguars team. And next year, I really think we'll define the future of that franchise. Because if they bounce back and they end up making the playoffs again and doing some damage in the postseason, confidence will be restored. But if they don't, then it's going to falter off and fall into this spot of, maybe that was just a one-year wonder and a one-time thing for Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. But great stuff with Trevor Lawrence, and appreciate him joining us via Zoom as we are broadcasting in Las Vegas on Radio Row at Mandalay Bay. All righty, let's take a timeout. We'll come on back. Robbie Gould scheduled to join us live in person, the former 49ers and Bears kicker, when we return after these short messages. But first up, the latest CBS Sports Radio update with the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
And now, another episode of Dr. Harry Balzac, Underwear Therapist.
Doc, I'm sweating the small stuff. I can't sit still. I feel like I'm in such a pinch.
Well, that sounds like a clear case of scrotus tutitus. To put it simply, you need to upgrade your underwear to Tommy John. They're soft,
breathable,
and lightweight.
Please tell me they're moisture wicking.
Naturally. Plus, they stretch and move with you, so you can keep your mind and everything else clear.
This solves everything.
Not quite everything, but the thousands of five-star reviews and Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee will give you the peace of mind you clearly need.
Thanks, Dr. Balzac.
You can get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/victory. How does that make you feel?
Now can we talk about my...
Oh, I'm sorry, our time is up. But remember, 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/victory. TommyJohn.com/victory. See site for details.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
I'm Tony, and this is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Wow. That makes it sound a bit more serious than it really is. So what exactly is the show about? It's been almost 30 years and I still don't know. Right now we have some of the best voices in football come on to explain to us what we need to know in the college and pro world. And we get weekly picks from a monkey. Do you really need more than that? I might just tell you about my bunker game and the latest failed entry in my quest to find the best coffee ice cream. No schmutz, please. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, we continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, Mandalay Bay Convention Center, day number two of Radio Row here in Las Vegas. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Kendrick Bourne scheduled to join us coming up in about an hour from now. We should be joined momentarily by Robbie Gould, who is the former Chicago Bears and San Francisco 49ers kicker. He was a part of that 49ers team that got to the Super Bowl and did lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll get his thoughts on everything developing with the San Francisco 49ers in the Brock Purdy era, and also what it was like to be in a locker room that was run by one Kyle Shanahan. And the Shanahan factor in this game, you know, it will be talked about, I'm assuming, throughout the week. Mainly, you know, you do have the biggest story being Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. And then you have how people describe Brock Purdy as a quarterback and then what this win would mean, Super Bowl number three, for the legacy and the greatness of one Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, maybe it's because all the attention's in other places. But the Robbie Gould, the Kyle Shanahan factor in this is enormous. Like, this is a guy that was up 28-3 as an offensive coordinator in a Super Bowl with the Atlanta Falcons. They choked it, and then they were up by 10 in that Super Bowl in Miami in January of 2020, right before the world really changed, right before our eyes. And that was a game where it looked like the Niners were the better team, and they couldn't get the job done. So when I look at the storylines heading into this one, It's clearly Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift that generates buzz, 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 and then more buzz. Then you have what will people and how will people be talking about Brock Purdy on Monday? The guy wins games. So, like, I don't – you want to call him a game manager, system quarterback, franchise, it doesn't matter. The dude wins games. And then the Mahomes historical component of it. But I'm most curious to see if, let's say, the Kansas City Chiefs are down in the fourth quarter, and they're down by not just a touchdown, but by 10 points or more with about 8 minutes to play, 9 minutes to play. Or let's just say the Niners take a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter. Everyone knows the game's not over. The game is never over without Patrick Mahomes until the fat lady sings, and then she sings some more, and she gets called out for an encore. All right, that's just the truth with Mahomes. We've seen it now against Buffalo, against Tennessee, against San Francisco, and I could give you a litany of other scenarios where Mahomes just finds a way to come on back and win the game. But that could be a big conversation on Monday, because Shanahan, a lot of people, they use the word great very freely, very easily, very openly. The dude's a phenomenal coach. The dude's a top five coach in the sport right now. They have consistently been there. But you got to get over the hump. You got to get to the top of the mountain. Because I can guarantee you this. We all know the Niners have a great team. We all know the Niners could be right back here next year. But how many times can you mentally and then also physically keep on getting right to the, like, the notch below the tippy top of the mountain before eventually you fall or contracts get out of hand and, you know, you have to lose a few players? Like, this is their time. And they've been there. They've been in NFC title games. They have been in a Super Bowl. They have had leads, and they have come up short. Now you have a quarterback where they didn't always believe in Jimmy G. They didn't always believe in Trey Lance. Regardless of what I think, Santa thinks, you think, this team believes in Brock Purdy, and they have a healthy Debo Samuel. Kittle's going to play in the game, even though he's dealing with a minor injury last week. You know, you have Brandon Ayuk. You have Christian McCaffrey, who's been healthy for the most part ever since going to the 49ers. Yeah, the defense has not played well the last 2 weeks, but they're still here. Now the defense has to give their best effort of the season up against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Because say what you want about the lack of receivers, Rashee Rice and, you know, Young Joka, if he's going to play in the game. You know, whoever it is, you could go through the vulnerability of the Chiefs. And we've been told all throughout the year, the Chiefs are vulnerable. The Chiefs are vulnerable. Heck, I've been saying it more than anybody. And here we are once again, where the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. The AFC, they tried to tug on Superman's cape. They couldn't get the job done. Now it's up to the 49ers to see if they could do that. And now joining us is a former NFL kicker, played for the Chicago Bears and the San Francisco 49ers, here today on behalf of DiGiorno. And that, of course, is Robbie Gold. Robbie, how are you?
Good. Good to see you. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. How's the week going?
It's been great. And it's a blur. It's crazy. It's all Taylor Swift. It's all Travis Kelce. It's all this chaos. It's fun. Like, you've done the opening night before at the Super Bowl. I'm sure you got asked some pretty stupid things. That has to be a zoo for a player, right?
Yeah, you know, it's changed a lot since the first Super Bowl I played in was in Miami in 06. And they showed up. They did the team picture. You guys basically sat in the stands, and people could interview you. Now all of a sudden, it's at night on a Monday night. There's fans. Everybody and anyone is in there asking you the most random questions. But I think it shows how this game and the National Football League as a brand has evolved over the years, and what this game really means to, you know, a lot of people, that it's going to change their lives if they win. And also, I think it's, you know, unique for fans to come out to Vegas, because this is a great host city for the Super Bowl.
You were in the NFL for a long time. If I would have told you 6-7 years ago that a Super Bowl, an NFL team,
was going to be in Vegas,
would be in Las Vegas. Yeah. Remember when they popped Tony Romo for whatever that one event was?
Yeah.
And this stuff, you couldn't imagine this 5-6 years ago.
I just wanted them in Skechers shoes, that's all.
Robbie Gold here with us. You know, special teams always a big part of the game, and it's always a huge part of the Super Bowls. We've seen that, you know, throughout the years. It doesn't really get talked about a lot going into this week. So since we have you here, and you know the Niners, you know the Chiefs, Who do you think has a special teams advantage going into this one?
Well, you know, I think I played for both Dave Tobe and Brian Schneider at the 49ers. You know, if you look at last year's Super Bowl, that Super Bowl, basically the punt return at the end of the game is what set up the Chiefs to winning.
With Kadarius Toney, it was a huge play.
Huge play. So I think, you know, when you look at special teams, whether it's a missed field goal, whether it's a big return, I think it's going to play a huge part in the game, only because both of these kickers have big legs, so you're not going to get a kickoff return, I don't think, unless they see something on film where they can pin the ball in the corner and they can cover. But I think the biggest parts and the keys of the game will be both field goal kickers, one, and two, who can develop the best punt return scheme based on what they've seen on film between Mitch Wisnowski and Tommy Towson, who are two totally different punters. Tommy's going to kick the ball really high and far. Mitch can kick it far, but he has a bunch of tricks in his bag. So I think, you know, it's going to play a huge part in these two going against each other.
You know, I'm just curious, because you have the special teams side of it, as Robbie Gold is here with us. Now with analytics, I feel like analytics tell you to go for it all the time. Never trust the kicker, never try to get the 3 points and extend the lead. When you were watching that NFC Championship game, and how many times Dan Campbell bypassed the field goals? I know that you're a former 49er, but that had to drive you bonkers.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember how many years ago, but somebody put a shirt together that says, run the ball.
Oh, yeah. Run the damn ball.
Yeah. And next thing you know, I should have done the same thing.
Kick the freaking ball.
Yeah, right? Just kick it. Kick the ball. If he misses it, the energy is different than when you don't get both of those and then you fumble. There's a lot of things that Detroit did to lose a football game as opposed to win the football game towards the second half, later in the second half as well. So, kick the ball. Always take the points.
I have to ask you this. Bears have the number one overall pick. It's a huge conversation. I think they should keep Justin Fields, but I don't think they will. What do you think the Bears should do?
You know, I think it's a very interesting situation for the Bears. I think they're in a really good position to do a handful of different things. First of all, let's start with Justin, right? Justin played in the Bears system for several years. They can get him for one more year, but he's never had stability, meaning he's never had the same coordinators, basically. He's always had the change of something else, and, you know, you just can't develop as a player in that aspect. So, you have Eberflus going into his third season now. You know, I think what they did at the end of the season and what he was able to accomplish by grasping that defense, moving the pocket, running the RPO game, using his legs, was very helpful, and that's why they won the football games at the end of the season. Now let's go to the other side of that. If you can go and get Marvin Harrison Jr. to pair with DJ Moore, plus plan for the future of having a number one receiver.
Chicago actually setting their quarterback up to succeed.
Yeah, and having two really good receivers with Cole Kmet. I like their running backs. I think they're pretty good. They're not going to be as dynamic as maybe a Bijan Robinson that you're going to take in a top 10. You know, I think there's a lot of merit to that. If you want to talk about the first pick and they get a boatload of picks, where they get two first rounders.
Basically do what you did last year.
Yeah, and build the roster with some extra talent at the offensive line, maybe get some different weapons later in the draft. You now have the point where you have to keep Justin Fields because unless you go get Drake May.
Yeah.
Is Drake May going to be there at 8, 7,
no, probably
6,
not.
5?
Even if they're saying he may fall, he's not going
to
be there.
Right. So to me, like you go in that direction, you're keeping Justin Fields and you're building around him.
Is this the 49ers time? You've been there. You've been close. You know, you guys were up by 10 in that Super Bowl, but then it's Mahomes on the other side. Like, do you genuinely feel that the Niners win this game?
You know, it's hard to go against or bet against a Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And I think they've played their best football as of late. What I will say is I think this is a San Francisco team that is built to win this game, more so than in years past. I think they were built to win. I think this team's built to finish it.
All right, there's a lot of speculation. Some people think Devin Hester already got informed, which he could have, that he's getting in the Hall of Fame. If that happens when we find out on Thursday evening, what would that mean to you?
Oh, he deserves it. I mean, the guy completely changed the people that I've talked to about him and understanding, you know, yeah, he's just a punt returner. He doesn't have this amount of touchdowns or whatever. One, the only reason punters flip now in the National Football League is because of Devin Hester. The reason they were punting out of bounds 30 yards is because they're like, Devin Hester could touch the ball and change the game at any moment, and we'll take the chances of your offense versus our defense rather than Devin Hester. So you know, the hidden yardage battle that he was able to win for us and start our offense in really good positions helped us win a lot of football games. And those are all stats that nobody keeps. So, you know, I'm happy for him. It's long overdue. I think he deserves to obviously go in the Hall of Fame because he not only did change the National Football League on how people punt, but it also, I think, resonates the type of player that he was, that he could change the game at any moment. I mean, listen, he took the opening kickoff back in this
to the house
in the, yeah, his rookie year is a Bear. So, you know, I love Devin. You know, I think he's a dynamic player, and you know, if he gets in, I couldn't be more thrilled for him.
Tell me what you're doing today on behalf of DiGiorno.
Yeah, so I'm out here for the second straight year. DiGiorno Pizza is doing the DiGiorno Doinks, which if the ball hits the upright or the crossbar,
what a promotion!
Now listen. I know two things. I'm promoting it to hopefully go in.
Yeah.
Right? But I also know that in Chicago, doink is like...
Double doink.
It's the worst curse word you can possibly find in the book. So, yeah, if anybody wants to register, I think it's a great opportunity to win free pizza. Go to DiGiornoDoinks.com. And listen, kicking in the playoffs, kicking in the at any time in the playoff games are unpredictable. So this will give us something to root for, and we can have some pizza. I like Pizza Fridays. That's what I do with my boys. So
I love it. Yeah. What toppings you put on that pizza?
I'm a cheese pizza guy.
Okay. Well done, at least. You cooked that pizza well done?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I live in Chicago, and I like a deep dish pizza every now and again. I like a New York style
taco
pizza.
There we go,
pizza,
my man. You know what I mean? There we go. Yeah. Robbie Gold, thanks so much. Appreciate you doing this. Coming on back, Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, live from Radio Row. We'll return for the Mandalay Bay Convention Center after these short messages.
A Peanut Butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
And now, another episode of Dr. Harry Balzac, Underwear Therapist.
Doc, I'm sweating the small stuff. I can't sit still. I feel like I'm in such a pinch.
Well, that sounds like a clear case of scrotus tutitis. To put it simply, you need to upgrade your underwear to Tommy John. They're soft,
breathable,
and lightweight.
Please tell me they're moisture wicking.
Naturally. Plus, they stretch and move with you, so you can keep your mind and everything else clear.
This solves everything.
Not quite everything, but the thousands of five-star reviews and Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee will give you the peace of mind you clearly need.
Thanks, Dr. Balzac.
You can get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/victory. How does that make you feel?
Now can we talk about my...
Oh, I'm sorry, our time is up. But remember, 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/victory. TommyJohn.com/victory. See site for details.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.